This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Hour two rolling along this morning on a Tuesday. Glad you could be with us. Again, we are set now for the NBA Finals as Miami will now take on Denver, winning Game 7 last night in Boston. And the Vegas Golden Knights beat the Dallas Stars 6-0 in Game 6, and they will face the Florida Panthers. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals will be on Saturday. They tend to own, those two finals own the month of June for the most part. This is the U.S. Open, of course, in golf, but these series, however long they go, usually take up the first part of the month. But we've been talking this morning about last night's Game 7 and whether or not it's more Miami winning it because they pretty much throttled the Celtics, or how much did Boston lose this? And is there a fault? If you were to point to something, would you fault the organization and Joe Mazzulla for the failure of the Celtics to get to the NBA Finals? On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Before we get to that, Ron, I just, during the break, I ate a banana. And I love bananas. I don't know why I don't eat them. But I was wondering, how come the banana that you eat, it doesn't taste like banana flavoring in candy?
No, that's true.
So if you get like banana runs or banana smell. Something, it's not the same taste at all. What is that?
Why? Guess because it's fake.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think it's like
I mean, there's like, no real banana juice.
Have you ever eaten a Jelly candy? Belly and went, how in God's name did they get the flavor of that thing into this jelly bean?
Like buttered popcorn.
Buttered popcorn is probably the best example
of
Jelly Belly's flavors.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever gone Birdie Bots.
Every
flavor jelly bean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, from Harry Potter.
From Harry Potter, but it's made by Jelly Belly.
That's right. They do.
If you've ever played the game.
Bean Boozled. Yes. Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's another one where, I mean, I have had grass jelly beans, and I feel like I have grass in my mouth.
Oh, that's rather tame for some of the flavors.
Oh, yeah,
that
no.
I would rather get grass than some of the ones I'm going to
describe, because I have had others that I'm just like, you know, that.
Have you had the dog food?
I haven't had the dog food.
Me
I did.
Either.
I had vomit.
Okay, what was that like?
That lasted in my mouth like, you know how you kind of like need to break it open so you chew down on it. That it hit me immediately. It spit it right out.
Yeah,
like I'm not even playing.
I did. We played this. By the way, I played this game once. I won't play it again. My wife keeps bringing it up. Like, we should play Bean Boozled again. No, thank you. I did it one time. And the reason I told her, I said, I can't play the game because I can still taste skunk oil in my mouth. So I still can taste it to this day. And it was like 5 or 6 years ago. I remember the when I bit down on this black jelly bean and it immediately had that scent of skunk. I'd like you spit it out, but it just lingered in my mouth for a long time. And I was like, I will never play this again. Because some of the ones, like you mentioned, grass, and I think there was another one that's pretty tame. But dog food, skunk, I can't remember some of the other ones. Some of them are terrible.
Vomit, I mean, I've had grass. Grass is something okay. Soap is okay.
Soap, yeah.
I did
That's right. That was the other one I was thinking of. Was
I did
soap.
Have like a rotten egg, which literally made me puke. I came close to puking.
Goodness gracious.
You know, it's just a candy. I came close to puking because the rotten egg looks a lot like buttered popcorn.
Right. And why wouldn't you want to go after the buttered popcorn?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I think it was weird. When I first had buttered popcorn, I was like, oh, this isn't right.
Right.
You know, this is jelly beans were supposed to be sweet.
Supposed to be cherry or lime or whatever it is. Yeah.
And so, but now, like, buttered popcorn, I've came around. I'm like, this is fantastic. You know, like, you know, they have a cappuccino, which tastes like cappuccino. You can get Dr. Pepper. I'm like, I don't know how they do that.
Yeah, me.
But I do have an answer to your banana. I guess it's because the alleged reason why artificial banana flavor doesn't taste like the Cavendish bananas we typically buy in the grocery store.
Right.
Is because artificial banana flavor wasn't developed based on that variety of banana.
No kidding.
So.
Really?
The banana, I guess, that we are used to. Or that we normally eat, wasn't the banana that our forefathers ate?
Gotcha.
That's what I'm getting from it.
Well, you know what? That's a wild thing. Whenever I see a fruit, like I grab an orange and I eat a really good orange, or I eat a really good banana or some piece of fruit, I always think like, man, the the first people to eat this must have thought this was a miracle of creation. This is so delicious. Until your brain goes, yeah, dude, that's not the this isn't the fruit they saw when they first arrived in this country. They saw a different kind of banana. We crossbreeded these things to create the fruit. And I'm like, No, so whenever I see pictures of what a banana looked like in like 1510, I go, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I used to go every once in a while, we would go apple picking when I lived in San Diego, because there is a little, you know, you go up into the mountains, there is a apple farm that you can go to, and you just pay like $20 and they give you a basket and you can take all the bananas you or all the apples you want. You know, and I was expecting, we're going to get some apples, and they were tiny.
Yeah, right.
It's like, where do the big apples come from?
Yeah, where are the big Macintosh apples? Yeah. Where are they? Where can I grab them?
These little tiny apples that, you know, I've seen all over the place.
Yeah. So anyway, that was quite a delicious
break. Speaking of fruit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to bring this up because I have to blame my son. He introduced us a game on our phones.
Right.
It's a simple little app that you can download. It's called What Watermelon or What Want. I want watermelon.
Okay.
And it literally, it's kind of like a game like Tetris, and you're just matching up fruit.
Oh, okay.
It is the dumbest game that you could possibly put on your phone.
But massively addictive.
But most addictive thing I've ever played.
Love it. Love it.
And my wife and I are constantly in battle now. It's like, because the idea is, you know, you have a grape, and then you match up the grape to a grape, and then that grape turns into an apple. Then you got to match up that apple to an apple, and that turns into a lime. So on and so forth. And the idea is to get all the way through all these fruit to get a watermelon.
Oh, okay.
But if you do get stuck and there is a line up top, and if you have so much fruit built up, by the time it reaches that line, the game's over.
Oh.
But it just, you know, just keep going and going.
So kind of like Tetris, right?
Kind of like Tetris. That, nice. You know, you reach the top and you know, just say, hey, game over. You reach the top.
But wasn't Tetris?
I cannot stop playing.
Wasn't Tetris the invention of the Russians to mind control us?
Was it?
Get us to a point where we would be so obsessed with something?
I was good.
I was massively obsessed with Tetris.
I was really good at Tetris.
I was obsessed with Candy Crush like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When Candy Crush was a big deal, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not doing a thing. Look, here's the thing. This was said by somebody said this, and I forget who it was, but it made a lot of sense. They're like, you know, one of the things with video games is this. When you read, so let's say you spend 10 hours reading, you gain something. You gain knowledge. Even if you were entertained, some transported in a fiction book. If you did some other thing for 10 hours or some other way to occupy your mind, usually gain from it. And video games are one of the things that really don't do much for you. They don't advance you, but they're still really entertaining. But they're built on this addiction. And I have to agree. I can't stop sometimes. I'm like always I never know when the good time is to go, I'm done. It just hits you at different levels and levels. Tetris was like that. When I had that Game Boy in my hand, like I don't know how many hours I've wasted. I could have been like a Nobel Prize scientist with the amount of time I dedicated to Tetris. If you had just told me, hey, put that down and read these science books, I might have cured every disease known to mankind. But instead, I was trying to make the L block rotate so it would fit in the slot that I created so I could get four lines at once. Boom, Tetris, bingo. That's what I did. I spent so much time playing that ridiculous game. But I was addicted to it. So if I get this and I'm just not here on a Wednesday, you're going to know why.
No, and I'm telling you, you're going to sit there and then you'll tell it to your wife and say, hey, honey, download this thing and then let's compete.
Yeah.
Because it becomes like my wife, like, I was going to bed last night. I'm just playing. Like I always play a game before I go to bed because that kind of calms me and like makes my eyes tired and I fall asleep. And then she noticed I was playing and she's like, how many watermelon you got?
Well,
I was like, I'm up to 13. She goes, 15.
Well, see, there you go. That's awesome.
I got to play.
That's great.
I got to play now.
That's great. All right, so we're going to have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up a little bit. We'll get into this Jimmy Garoppolo story because now it's like, hey, guess who might be owning the Raiders?
Yeah.
Who might be stepping in at quarterback?
I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
So, it's in the good, the bad, the dumb. And then we're going to have to revisit it because I absolutely love it.
I think it's a great, great twist
it.
Angle to all of this.
And being a Chargers fan, I couldn't decide where I wanted to put this.
So, yeah, so we'll get to the Jimmy Garoppolo story coming up in The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb as well, with the possibility of their new owner, who's buying stakes in the team, stepping in and saving the day for the organization. What a wild turn of events
If not, you got to hear who QB1 is.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's
very true. That's very true. So we'll have that coming up as well. And, of course, we're getting more and more into the NBA Finals now that we know the matchup. And whether or not Denver is going to be, like, unlike any of the teams that have been playing the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference, actually taking it to Miami early and taking control of this series. We'll see if they can do that with that long layover and a Miami Heat team that doesn't seem to care who they're playing. But they are playing a Nuggets team that has had a great postseason so far. And not just winning the Western Conference Finals. You can do that and have a back and forth. Like, if Boston won the East, we'd still go, yeah, but there's things that really concern me. There is nothing concerning about the way the Denver Nuggets have played so far in this postseason. They have controlled series. They have dominated series. They have taken everything you do well and nullified it. Will they do that to Miami? To me, it's the best player in the game against another best player in the game in Jokic and Jimmy Butler. And Denver going up against the best coach in the NBA in Eric Spoelstra. So I don't want to fall into this trap of looking at Miami and not giving them enough credit and more fault on Boston. But golly, the Celtics really choked last night in a way that really they have to address. That can't just be, well, we played a better team tonight. That can't be addressed. Or Jason Tatum's ankle injury was the reason. There were other problems with this team all playoffs long. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've had a 3-day Memorial Day weekend to process good, bad, and dumb. So we bring it to you on the Tuesday edition of Wake Up Call. What is the good of the day?
There can only be one good of the day, good from the weekend, because we saw a lot of great soccer happen over the weekend. And probably the greatest has to go to Luton Town or Luton Town. I'm still not sure how to pronounce the beginning part of their name. Town, I understand how to pronounce. And who Luton Town is a new team that got promoted from the Championship Division up to the Premier League, where they're going to be playing against the big boys.
All right.
But what makes it very special is that 10 years ago, they were in the non-league or the National League, which was where Wrexham was.
Okay.
Where Wrexham started out. That's how I can describe it to you. They play in a 10,000-seat stadium. What makes their stadium also unique is that the back row of the stadium, like the main, part of their wall, is adjacent or is attached to houses.
Okay.
So, like, these houses are kind of built into the stadium.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
There's nothing
so
they
you
can
be
do.
Cooking eggs while a soccer match is going on.
Yeah, but
connected to your house.
Your house, but you don't have a window looking into the stands.
No, but you can feel
structure. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is where the likes of, the biggest clubs in all of England are going to be playing. Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United. It's a stadium literally built inside of a neighborhood.
Awesome. Good for them.
And for Luton Park or Luton Town. And the promotion means for them that they will be getting paid $211 million over across the next three seasons.
Okay,
and if they don't get relegated after one season, if they don't get relegated next year, that increases to $360 million.
So get them a new stadium.
That's kind of hard to come by because there's a lot of tradition.
Kick the people out and tear it down and build another one.
They have to put in $14 million into their stadium to renovate it, and that's just going to go probably to locker room.
Okay,
because
but don't they want
players.
More people?
Yes, and yes, I agree. I agree to what you're saying.
I mean, you said 10,000.
That's a very
South Carolina
American
baseball
thing.
Plays.
It would be like
in front of people,
but it would be like if you were to take.
Well, now hold on. Let's repeat
that.
It'd
be, but it, I got to put it to you this way. It would be like taking Fenway Park and saying Fenway Park is too small. We gotta tear this down or build a new stadium. We got to move you to Foxborough.
Okay, but hold on. But Fenway Park isn't too small. But if it was too small, the Red Sox would be playing somewhere else.
They would have to go. They would probably move to Foxborough, and that's where Park is.
There's no nostalgia when the economics don't allow you. Like Wrigley Field's nice, but if the average Major League Baseball attendance was 80,000, Wrigley Field and Fenway Park wouldn't exist. It just wouldn't. We would go, thank you for the memories, but we burned down Yankee Stadium. We tore that down. We will tear down these. So I get the nostalgia and I get the tradition and I get the, hey, it's, but if they're now in a new league and only 10,000 people can come, don't they need more money? Don't they need more revenue? I mean, don't they need to say, look, we need to play in front of, like that's just kind of the only way I'm looking at it. I mean, I get nostalgia and I get part of tradition and we've been playing here for 200 years. But at the same time, now that they're playing these teams, don't they want to maximize that opportunity? Like, it's one thing to play in the other leagues at that, but...
No, I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
They have proposed it several times, but it's been shot down every single time. And this is, I mean, it's funny. It's because they were one of the original Premier League teams.
Oh, I got you.
Way back in the 1990s. Right. But they actually never got a chance to play in the Premier League because they were relegated before it became the Premier League.
Okay.
So they were one of the teams that voted, yes, we should call ourselves the Premier League, but then they got relegated back in the mid-90s. And so now they finally made it back.
Oh, so
but
they made it back.
I agree. I mean, yeah, there's conversations. They've been having conversations like, hey, we should move stadium. But there is a history to these stadiums,
and
too.
I get it. But economics doesn't pay. History doesn't pay your economics.
No, I get that. Yeah, they
do. You know what I mean? Like, if only 10,000 people can come, they may be going to a historical place, but only 10,000 people are there.
Right.
You can only, you know, you're at a point where the tickets prices would have to be $3,000 a game to make up for the economics of what you're going to want at the level. Because I'm assuming that the players are going to get paid more for being on the upper level.
They'll get paid more.
Right. So where does the money comes from? The renovations and the money comes from
television.
Right.
So maybe
they don't want it. Maybe the economics are like, we don't care how many people come here.
It could be that. I don't know. We're looking at now where it's like, I guess attendance doesn't really matter anymore. You know, like TV deals are what's paying
that's
clubs.
The case.
Because, I mean,
we look at the A's. Yeah.
I mean, just even our own town, we look at the A's and go, I mean, it doesn't really matter. There's players are still getting played or paid, and only 300 people are showing up to these games.
Yeah.
So it could be television. I mean, there might be
something pretty quirky about that that might be kind of fun.
Well, that's what everyone's talking about, because the entrance to the stadium where the players are going to entrance is literally looks like a garbage chute.
Right, exactly.
but it's amazing for them because they beat all the odds and had.
And by the way, and like you said, it's the only good of the weekend.
It's the only good of the weekend.
Right. So sorry, Miami. Sorry, Vegas.
No.
Joseph Newgarden.
We kind of knew that was happening.
It's the only good of the weekend. But that's true. That's pretty awesome, though. It's pretty awesome to be back in Premier League. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that a high school baseball team lost their state championship in the worst possible way.
I saw this story. This was a cool, not a cool thing, but it was one of those wild things.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon and went, whoa.
You've heard of bad beats. This is probably the baddest of all bad beats.
This is a bad beat, without question.
So just to set it up, and I really don't know the high school teams, pitcher throws the ball to the catcher. Catcher drops the ball or looks like he picks it up from the dirt. Called third strike. Batter runs. And I could not, from that video, could not tell if the catcher actually tagged the runner.
I couldn't either.
But he went on, he looked like he did, and then went on to celebrate, but the umpire never called him out.
That's right, yep.
And there was already a guy on the base pass. They're up, the team's up by one, and those guys just started running.
Oh.
And by the time they realized what was going on, the game was tied, and then they went, hey, who has the ball? They did not know who had the ball. I think the catcher still had the ball, but he's off celebrating with the pitcher and everyone else, jumping up and down, having a great time. By the time they all collectively realized who had the ball, the winning run came across the plate. The umpires met for all of 10 seconds and declared that the other school was the winner.
Yeah, they should. And but I'm with you. I didn't know if he tagged him or not.
I mean, it looked like he did.
It looked like he did.
Looked like he did, but, you know, I mean, you got to turn and look at the umpire.
You've got to make sure that, yes, there is a level of assumption, because we do see it a lot on the upper level. Like, we will see a World Series clinching moment where they throw to first, and it's not that close, but it's like close. And the player catches it and immediately throws his glove. He knows it's out.
Or does what Anthony Rizzo did, right? I mean, when you do it right, I remember when the Cubs won the World Series, he immediately stuck it in the back pocket.
Right.
So at least he knew where the
at
ball
least
was.
He knew where the ball was. So, but yes, if you are a high school kid, you need to make sure that the umpire sees what you did and calls it out, and that ends the game. But yeah, this is going to haunt these kids for the rest of their lives.
I feel bad for that catch. I mean, if you didn't tag him, simple throw to first. I mean, that's a bang-bang play. Series over. Let the first baseman throw, like you said, throw his glove up in the air, run to the mound, and they all dogpile on the mound.
What if the catcher is like 20 years from now, they find him in bars, and they go, that's the kid. We had the state title.
Yeah. Well, he'll be disheveled, full beard. You want to hear his ghost story, son. Get over here.
Poor child. That's got to be devastating.
Yeah,
devastating.
That was the worst way to lose a game.
I know. It's some of these stories. You know what's funny? It feels like every year we have something somewhere that's like this, where they're like, well, a team was trailing by 6 in the bottom of the ninth inning of the state playoff game, and they scored 7 runs.
They just started walking everyone.
They started walking everybody. There's always something that occurs. A softball game, a track and field meet, something where you go, oh, that's crushing.
Track and field. That guy was celebrating with 10
yards
to go.
Throwing his hands up in the air.
There was a track and field story I saw recently in high school. Kid was disqualified.
Yes.
He crossed right before he crossed the finish line. He rose his hand up and celebrated. And for whatever reason, you're not allowed to do that. And the guy was disqualified. And I think it was the 4x100 or 4x something. And I mean, he came flying around. He had to catch the leader and got past him and was winning by a country mile by the time he was done. But don't celebrate. I guess don't raise your hands and celebrate
as you're
crossing the finish line. Wait till after you've crossed the finish line. I don't know.
Wait till we're done.
But
wait
this, done. I mean, I couldn't think of a worst way to lose a game.
That is pretty devastating. Devastating. Because you have the euphoria of thinking you've won.
Yeah. Strikeout.
And then watching it fall apart. Yeah, strikeout.
It was a
strikeout. Second, strike three, but you haven't quite completed the deal yet. That is a crazy story. That is an absolutely crazy story. What's crazier? Is it the dumb? We've got that for you coming up next. Yeah, we got to dive into that. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Good Tuesday to you.
SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is now finishing up the good, the bad, and the dumb. We did the good, the bad. Now let's get to the dumb here on your Tuesday. Glad you could be with us on Wake Up Call. What is the dumb of the day?
Well, man,
I touched on it earlier.
I got to be honest with you, there can only be one.
There can only be one,
and this one is not up for debate.
Oh, yeah.
And I honestly was very, very close to putting this as the good of the day.
Okay.
Because it's so intriguing?
Being
a Chargers fan, I absolutely love seeing one team implode. So if you didn't catch the news, Jimmy Garoppolo has failed his physical. And if he fails it a second time, it enacts something in the contract that makes the contract null and void.
Yeah, so the Raiders signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a very nice little piece of change.
That's
a huge contract for a quarterback, for a starting quarterback in the league. But again, they're looking for their next star, next quarterback. So they're using him as a placement. It was a $20-something million a year, right? And so he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Raiders. He's getting all the attention from the brothels. And
of course.
And now he could, all of that could be gone. because of the injury, well, and the surgery that he had on the injury.
The brothels might not be gone.
That might not be gone.
That could still be there.
I don't think they're following NFL.com news.
His good looks is not playing.
Yeah, they're
into
not saying we're pulling down the offer because you had an ankle injury or foot injury. So we're pulling out the offer. No, he probably still gets to keep that perk of being a Raiders quarterback, but he may not be the Raiders quarterback.
Now, you had mentioned a certain person who could become quarterback.
That's right.
But I'm just going to let you know, on the roster at this point, QB2,
right?
The backup is Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, that's right.
So now, if we focus on who, which makes a lot of sense, because this guy has been a backup to him before, the illustrious, magnificent Tom Brady is he part owner now?
He's agreed to an agreement to buy a stake in the Raiders, a minority stake in the Raiders. So,
which is what he wanted to do in Miami a long time ago.
That's right. So
we remember that.
Let's reset the Miami story. So the Miami story was what got Miami in trouble. They didn't have a first round pick because of this deal.
Yep.
In the draft back in April was because Brady had retired the first time in Tampa Bay. Remember that? When he retired the first time, the plan was that he was going to join the ownership group of the Dolphins, and then he was going to clear retirement, whatever that, you know, the process of the Buccaneers saying, okay, you are cleared out of that. And then as the part owner of the Dolphins, he was going to come out of retirement and be the quarterback of the Dolphins, and they were going to get Sean Payton to be the head coach.
Yep.
And then all that started to fall apart. Brian Flores' lawsuit sort of opened up that can of worms. And so there was speculation that he went back to the Buccaneers because he didn't really want to retire the first time. He just wanted to play for a different team and be a part of the owner of the Dolphins. So now that's being resurrected again because he retired from the Buccaneers the second time, but he doesn't have to clear this time. He's a free agent now. He finished out his contract with the Buccaneers. The first one, he had a year left. So he would have to go through the hoops of being cleared and allowed to play for another team. He doesn't have to do that now. The Buccaneers don't own his rights in retirement, kind of like the Colts did with Andrew Luck. He can announce today that he's coming back and he can play for anybody he wants, right? So being minority owner of the Raiders. Yeah, there's a situation where Garoppolo's contract is 3-year, $72.75 million contract can be voided. And now Brady might go, you know, I just can't live in a world where I own a team where Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback.
Yep.
So, and he's going to be like, well, if you want to do it right, you might as well do it yourself.
Exactly. So, he has a responsibility.
A new boss in town.
He has a responsibility as part owner.
That's right. That's right. I told Mark I would do whatever I could as an owner to help us win. So now I'm going to be playing for the Raiders.
We got
to
put the best product on the field, Tony.
Yeah, he's not sitting in the owner's box watching Brian Hoyer throw passes.
And what I love most, too, is you sit back and then you look at it and you go, oh, wait, who's the head coach?
That's right.
Oh, God. I wonder, is he familiar with this head coach at all? Have they ever had any success together?
What is all this? Is this like The Secret or something? Like, what's going on here with this guy where the universe just sort of bends to his will? Yeah,
I think Jimmy Garoppolo fails the physical.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's written in the stuff.
I'm messing with Cosmos.
If I'm Jimmy G, I already know the answer.
I know. I wouldn't even bother. I'd be like,
you give me a little bit of severance.
I'm fighting the galaxy. Are you kidding me? Forget it.
Jimmy should just ask, give me my outright release so another team could sign me.
Yeah, what is he, Thanos? Is he just snapping his finger and all of a sudden, bam, Garoppolo is failing his physical. He's a part owner of the Raiders. Brian Hoyer is the backup and Josh McDaniels the head coach. What Machiavellian stuff is this?
We're back to 2008?
Yeah.
2009? What was this?
This is Lex Luthor. I'm going to own Otisville and Lutherville, like, planning.
It's what they always dreamed of with the Patriots, Tony,
right.
That Josh McDaniels is going to take over someday.
Bill Belichick
is going to step down, but Bill Belichick never stepped down.
Exactly. He literally sent the two nuclear missiles in opposite sides of the country because Superman can't get to both of them at the same time. That's how Tom Brady arranged all this. What a plan this was. Goodness gracious. Oh, my
God. It's all focused on the Dolphins. Meanwhile, he's cutting a deal with the Raiders all along.
Remember that scene in the movie Casino where Sharon Stone is walking around giving money to everybody? Valets, dealers, like she knows everything that's going on. Is that Brady around the league?
Yep.
Does everybody owe Brady a phone call?
I think so.
Tom. Jimmy Garoppolo is not healthy. You gotta hear this.
Check the foot again.
Trust me on this one. I'm not lying to you, Tommy. I'm not lying to you. And then he's making a phone call to Mark Davis. He's even buying a stake in the WNBA just to sort of cover the fact that he wants to be back in the NFL. Like, I'll even buy in that basketball league you're in. Whatever that thing, the WNBA. Yeah, whatever it is. Send the paperwork my way. Yeah, the WBNA, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Send the paperwork to me. I'm in on that. And then we'll talk about the Raiders later. Just calm, cool. I don't know what's going on.
It is. I mean, it's so fascinating. I mean, that's why Jimmy G, his foot has to be injured.
Yeah, right.
This contract needs to be voided. I don't know when the details of it are coming back up.
I know. I don't. Yeah, good point. Whenever that does, we'll be knowing about it.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday Night Live years back in the 80s did a skit about Ronald Reagan. And it was a skit where, because Reagan, when he was president, was kind of always like, oh, well, I need a nap. He was always perceived like he was like kind of your grandfather as president of the United States. But Saturday Night Live did a bit where, like, little children would come see him and he'd be like, I'm too old to know this stuff. But then when behind closed doors, he's like speaking in Mandarin. He's like organizing troop movements and he's, dealing with he's a brilliant strategist, but that's Brady. Brady has this perception like, I just want to buy a small stake in a league that I played in my whole career. And I just am so yucks, shucks. I don't even know. Meanwhile, his team has been working effortlessly to maneuver the pieces in such a way where what stops him from deciding tomorrow that he wants to be back in the league and play for the Raiders? Nothing. 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 He just goes to the league. I'm back and I'm playing for this team and I own it. And sorry, Brian, I'm doing it to you again. What do you want?
I mean, I guess the Raiders could terminate Garoppolo's contract for any reason related to that waiver that he signed.
Right.
And that Garoppolo will not be paid any of his $22.5 million base salary for the 2020 season or 2023 season until he passes a physical.
Oh, how did his agent get this? How did his
agent and there was something added. It was added after the fact. Like, I guess, they added it after they found out he had surgery.
Seriously, do you honestly think the Raiders are going to go? This is who they have. Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell.
This is an escape clause, man.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding.
I mean, they can sit back and go, no, we're just going to enact this.
No, we're good. Like, I'm just, like, seriously, like, there's no way a healthy Tom Brady is going to watch Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell battle it out in camp for the starting quarterback job of the team he just bought into. There is zero chance of this happening. Zero. He is going to. No.
Don't forget the fourth string guy is Chase Garbers.
Oh, that's right. Chase Garbers is on the roster. Who could forget him?
Yeah.
Who the hell is Chase Garbers?
Somebody give me a background on him. He's.
Did we make him up?
He's a rookie.
Oh, he is? Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Oh, he's from Cal. Oh, yeah. Okay. The Berkeley powerhouse?
Well, he might be allowed to stay.
Yeah, he might be allowed to stay is right. That's true.
He's a NorCal boy.
Because in the world of Tom Brady,
you could stay.
If you're from NoCal, you get to stick around and be on the roster. But if you're Brian Hoyer, you're not going to be the starting quarterback under a Tom Brady ownership.
Ron Cole. Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. And hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Scott Hastings, Denver Nuggets analyst, former player in the NBA, will join us. We'll talk Nuggets as they get ready for game one against Miami on Thursday night. Philip on Twitter, probably the dumbest thing I saw all weekend from Major League Baseball was the umpire mocking the Marlins challenge, got caught on hot mic, and then overturned a bad call. Are we still not aware of live mics? In the history of microphones, I don't think anybody, we're universally aware of hot mics. Hot mics are always...
What's a hot mic?
Yeah, exactly. They're just, people screw up all the time on hot mics.
All the time.
You're right. It's,
yeah, and I saw
amazing.
That too, and I appreciate the umpire's honesty. And yeah. What it made me realize is that I think the umpires need to be mic'd up all the time.
Sure, I agree. Robert on Twitter, all-time Denver Nuggets stars David Thompson, Skywalker, and Dan Issel. Yeah, they had some pretty good players. Alex English, former South Carolina Gamecock, used to play for the Nuggets. Alex English also was a star of a movie that you can Google called Chuck and the Amazing Grace. And you know what that movie was about? Jamie Lee Curtis was in it.
All right.
And who's the guy that was on CSI? Who was the William Peterson? Is that a guy's name? He was like the original detective guy on CSI Las Vegas.
I think you'll know him
when you see him. Like, yeah. He's got the gray beard and whatnot. But he played the dad. So this Chuck and the Amazing Grace was a movie about, and Alex English was the star. So Alex English played Amazing Grace, and he was a Celtic. And this little kid lived in this little town, and he was scared of nuclear war. So I can already tell you what decade that was in.
The 2020s.
Yeah, he was. So he decided that he wasn't going to pitch in the little league game that he was playing in to protest nuclear weapons. And so he decided, I'm not going to pitch. And then it kind of snowballed, and it became a kind of a story. And they were like, news reporters were like, this little kid, blah, 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 is protesting nuclear war. And Alex English, who was playing Amazing Grace, decided, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to play any more basketball professionally until the two sides agree to dismantle all the nuclear weapons. That's basically the plot of the story. There's some other twists and turns, but that's basically it. If I'm not mistaken, I think Gregory Peck was in it too, played the president of the United States.
I'm looking at the cast list
here. Yes, Chuck in the Amazing Grace.
Red Auerbach. I don't know if you've
heard
of
Red
him.
Yes, Red Auerbach was in. He was in a cameo as a Celtics president.
I don't know if you've heard of him before.
Yes. I don't think this was a made-for-TV movie. I think this was a real movie, but I'm not sure. The 80s were a blur.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. But, Alex English played Amazing Grace.
But why is that kid? Jamie Lee Curtis. It's Joshua Zulke. I think that's who plays Chuck.
Yeah. Did he go on to do other famous things?
No, this is his only film credit.
Wow, wild. See, that's enough of this.
Yeah, he
Hollywood
was born
nonsense.
In 74, but I mean, it literally is his only film credit.
Yep. So, who would have thought that you could be an NBA player and a Hollywood superstar going to the University of South Carolina? Alex English, Gamecock forever to thee. So there
he,
you go.
He was nominated for a Young Artist Award.
What for the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best Young
Actor. And then he just went, nah, this is not
said,
for me.
Yeah, he said that was good. You know, I was like, I made it. And
I did
done.
A movie. I'm out. Or maybe he went to auditions and like, I'm sorry, we can't hire Chuck from Chuck and the Amazing Grace.
No, maybe.
This is like, have you ever heard of Mark Hamill, kid? That guy can't get work.
At least Mark Hamill was able to, be a voice actor.
Parlay that into be a voice actor.
This guy didn't do anything.
Voice acting. Maybe he could do the voice of, like, I don't know, Doomsday or some other cartoon character.
I mean,
you're definitely not going to be on screen anymore.
That was it.
People are just going to watch you and see Chuck.
Just did one movie.
What did it say what year that came out?
87.
Oh, 87. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a weird time.
It was a very loving Jamie Lee Curtis hugging good old Chuck there.
She was still attractive, but,
Yeah.
Old,
and you were right.
Older.
And it is William Peterson. Although
William Peterson,
in the film, he was William L. Peterson.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good.
A little more bougie on the name.
The CSI guy. CSI Las Vegas guy, I should say.
Yeah, other than that, there's really, it wasn't really any of the other big stars.
Yeah, there you go. I got
no
a question.
Love
I
might Chuck.
No love, none at all. And none of you are going to see the movie, so
no,
I'm just going to tell you right
you
now.
You're going to spoil it.
I'm going to spoil something. Okay, so eventually the president comes in, but there are nefarious people that don't want this to succeed, and there's a scene where Chuck is on a private jet, and he phones Jamie Lee Curtis, who's his agent or whatever, or works with it, whatever it is, and he says, "Hey, thank you for the private jet," and she goes, "I didn't send a private jet," and then, and that's how Chuck dies. Not Chuck, Amazing Grace. So I'm not giving anything away because none of you are going to see
it. Oh, man, he dies?
He dies. He gets blown up in the air, and that propels the movement even further. I can't believe it. I'm like Roger Ebert giving you the rundown on Chuck and the Amazing Grace. How in God's name did I remember this? I haven't seen it since 87 or whenever it came out. So, yeah, there you go. But I have a question, okay? And I might bring this up in hour three to explore it a little more because we're kind of running out of time in this segment. So last night, Jason Tatum suffered an ankle injury in like the first play of the game, okay? Very, very early. And he finished the game with 14 points. He was clearly hobbling. It was clearly a problem. It's not an excuse because no one else stepped up, but that's it. Now, I know injuries are different, and I know athletes are different, so they all have different mindsets. They all have different goals, and injuries, again, some are more severe than others. But do you think it bothers Jason Tatum? Hear me out. That there is a list of athletes in the history of sports who have gotten hurt and have performed on an extraordinary level to propel their team to whatever their team needed them to do, whether it's an injury or like when Michael Jordan's case, a flu, Tiger Woods' case, a broken leg, Kobe Bryant, I think had an ankle injury once in the playoffs. Like there's a list of, in the NFL, we have guys, you know, running on torn this or whatever. Do you think it bothers Tatum that in the moment that the sports universe gave him an injury in game 7, he failed to live up to what other athletes have done? Like he had a chance, couldn't overcome the pain. Celtics lose. Shot terribly, 14 points, clearly affected by the injury. And we as a society, we tend to take guys that shouldn't be playing on some of the injuries that they've had, but because of necessity, they're 70% is still the best option for the team. They've gone, all right, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I'll die another day, but today is not that day. And for Jason Tatum, it was game over.
Yeah.
That's it. Celtics lose. And he couldn't participate. He couldn't elevate the Celtics. He couldn't inspire the Celtics or play where Jaylen Brown's like, I better hit some shots because that guy can't even jump and he's hitting shots. Like, that guy can't even go after loose basketball, and yet he's causing turnovers and getting and diving for everything. I better get my game in gear. There was almost a deflation of, ugh, our star is out, and no one wants to grab this mantle and take it. And I wonder if that does affect him in a way where he looks and goes, well, I'm not MJ, I'm not Kobe, I'm not, Tiger, or any of these athletes who became whose legacy became they did something amazing when they were hurt and their team needed them the most. Or in like Tiger Woods' case, the opportunity to win a major was there. And he was like, I don't care, broken leg or not, I'm winning this thing. I don't care. I'll play through the pain. I wonder if it bothers him today. Cause it was, that's what all everybody's kind of, when everybody's talking today, they all saying the same thing, which is, well, the Celtics, Jason Tatum just clearly was not himself last night, clearly affected by the injury. And, you know, that's not to make an excuse, but clearly the team was totally affected by this injury and was just not the same team.
He's just a shell of a former self.
Shell of his former self. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I wonder if he goes, darn it, like, I couldn't find a way to play through it. Like, I couldn't go to the locker room and just get it taped up real quick.
Yeah.
I just could not play through it. Injury got the best of me, and I couldn't do it.
Fails, it's not on the same level, but I joined a team and I played soccer on Sunday night, and I kind of strained my calf muscle.
Yeah.
But we didn't have any subs, so I just stayed in the game, and I felt very, very ineffective at all.
Right, right. You do.
It was like, pass the ball to me. I couldn't run. I couldn't walk. I'm like, you know, first of all, I'm, you know, old, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have the young legs anymore to keep playing on this thing.
Right.
So I know how Jason Tatum felt.
Poor Jason Tatum.
He and I are kindred spirits.
Yeah. Scott Hastings will join us in Hour 3 as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.